the cultural sensitivity expert with the CMI team, which regularly works with companies to avoid these kinds of very bad decisions. Roiland, thank you for joining us on 1320 WILS.
Great. Glad to be with you.
Okay, this uproar has been over these sneakers that many think kind of bring us to this idea of slavery, these shackle-like things attached to sneakers. Does this just reflect that this kind of a German company didn't have any clear perception of what how things are viewed here in the U.S.?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, Adidas is so big over here, and you just wonder, how did they miss it? Because, you know, a big company like this with all the shoes they sell and what they've done, they pretty much should know our culture, and they have been, you know, quite successful over here.
Now, when you're dealing with a company that's trying to avoid this kind of a debacle, I mean, how do you help guide them when it comes to decisions that they might be viewing as creative but you can see as being potentially explosive?
Well, one thing too, Mike, is what you normally see in marketing research, and which we as any other company who deals with marketing research on an expert level, is there's usually a process. And there's usually a lot of people involved, not only your marketing people, but then with your marketing research, you do focus groups, or you do or surveys, whether they're online, to get a pulse of who your target audience is. And Adidas knows who buys these shoes and who they're targeting. So with that, there's a lot of different ways that you can get that information, get a pulse until you know what works and you know what you need to tweak. But when you're really on target with it, very seldom do you miss it that big, and especially you catch anything this big before it gets out of the door, because there's a lot of money involved.
Are companies, would you say, with the work you do at the CMI team, are companies now more careful than ever to avoid offending people? Because it seems like that's where they really get into trouble. I mean, they might bore somebody slightly, but once they've offended somebody, that's when it makes headline news.
Exactly, because pretty much what marketing research is designed to do is find out what the likes and dislikes are and where you need to tweak. But with something like this, you know, now it's out of the door. You know, of course, you're looking at damage control as well. But one thing about it is there is a fact. We know that they did miss it. Two is the good thing is they have come back and they've apologized and they're trying to put some things in place. So if you miss it on one end, they're saying, hey, we heard you, we're sorry, we're going to retract, and that is a dollar amount tied to that. So you have to give them credit for that.
When it comes to the marketing research you do, what would you say is the most effective and most insightful part of that in terms of getting out there and getting a sense of how a product is gonna work with the public?
I would say, Mike, a lot of times you see focus groups work really well, because the key to that, first of all, is you know who your target audience is and who you're trying to reach. So you get people who represent that, and there's questions and ways you design it that you just show them examples of what you want to do, and they get their feedback. And so often people will tell you. They'll tell you exactly what they like and what they don't. And when you get good feedback like that, then the company can decide, let's start over, we missed it, or, hey, let's tweak it. It might be, hey, let's just take off the chain part that looks like shackles, or put it in another format that will be a slightly different. So a lot of times you'd be surprised how many products go through the tweaks before they go out of the door to the public, and are usually very, very successful when you can follow those kinds of procedures and the right people are involved in the process.
Do any companies nowadays just kind of rely on their own people to come out with an idea? Although I guess Apple would actually be a good example of that, where they do everything internally and they avoid this kind of vetting process that marketing research puts a product through, huh?
And if you look at it, Apple has their own way as well. Regardless of different ways, say for Apple, it might be even a use test where you look through the keystrokes and different things. So it's all in the design of how you test this. So that might be more of a functionality component where they could do it in-house, and it could be segmented by age or different things of that nature. And a lot of companies, too, may even build their internal panels as well. So these are people that they have selected that go in and they try the products. and they give them feedback. So depending on when you get to your big companies, very seldom will you find a company that doesn't put something into play to try to get a feel for your for the customer. Because at the end of the day is, who's going to buy the product? And it's all about that bottom line and the money that goes into it. So do you pay a little bit and give time at the beginning to hear from your customer? Or if you see something like this at the end that's grossly off, mm-hmm. And normally, the bigger the company, you know, the bigger the investment, you know, compared to a smaller company.
Sure, sure. Well, one last thing. You work with CMI Team, which is thecmiteam.com is the website. Have you had, can you give me an example of a situation where you've had a company bring an idea that you could tell instantly was just completely off the mark, and then through the marketing research process, really nailed it, even with their own resistance to the process?
Yes, as a matter of fact, one example comes to mind where it's actually a company thought they had a really good idea about a product, and one of the questions a lot of companies ask is, if you really like this product, how much are you willing to pay for it? You know, what is it worth to you? So we were in the process of going through that where the company just assumed that that their audience were going to like the product. So they were, you know, we were going through how much it costs, and then to their surprise, the group of customers said, we don't even think it's a good product.
Oh,
we don't trust it. So it was an eye-opener. And a lot of times in those focus groups, too, is the executives can actually see and experience and feel the customer. But I can say one thing about that company. Mm-hmm. They huddled, they looked at it, and they regrouped. And then they made changes to, first of all, go back and say, well, we thought we had the right product.
Right.
But let's get the right product in place, and then we'll go back to find out what you're willing to pay. So I think that was classic perfect.
That is a great question, although I'm guessing usually the answer that their company's given is that they'd pay a lot less than the company's hoping they would.
Exactly. And sometimes it could be the flip side and pay even more.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, if you're in tune with your customer, that's what it's all about. And that's what everybody wants, you know, from the customer's mm-hmm. end, and then the company, when they hit it, then the product is successful, the company is doing well, the customer is happy. So that's the bottom line of what you really want to get.
And it's something that Adidas clearly missed this time around. Royalyn Reed, a cultural sensitivity expert with the CMI team. That's thecmiteam.com. Royalyn, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you, Mike.